Atlantic to the Pacific, from mountain crest to mountain crest, from canyons to the clouds and into the cosmos, we are pumping wattage high and low, plus streaming worldwide on the internet and keeping you company tonight. It's the place to relax and hang out. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, and this is Speaking of Strange, giving you the latest and discussing the weirdest. We have assembled the finest team of reporters and the most intriguing guests, and that's why we are your favorite hub in a wild, wild world. So keep it tuned right here. We're going to talk some this hour about the 12 reasons some say the world may end this year. I don't think that's going to happen, but we're going to go over the reasons that have been presented. And also, this hour brought to you in large part by the Sunshine Simple solar generator for the home. In some places, like Western North Carolina, so far the winter has been very, very mild. But not everywhere. And I think it's going to get really crazy when the spring comes around. As warm as it has been, hurricanes kicking in. We've already had tornadoes all over the place. Some people are getting record snowfall. And even if you have a generator, what do you do when the fuel runs out and you can't get more fuel? Go check out the Sunshine Simple generator. And watch the video there and see why that we have sold these all over the world already. SunshineSimple.com. That's SunshineSimple.com. So here I am on this big piece of property with two ladies, my wife and Angela. And we have these three just crazed horses running around the property. Yeah, they're just tearing through. They're stampeding, really. And being trampled by horses is an awful thing, because horses, how much does a horse weigh, like 2,000 pounds or something? Or I don't know if it's that much, but they're big.
They're muscle.
Yeah, yeah. And a wild horse is very scary, really. Especially since, okay, think about what do you do when you're on a big piece of property like this and you've got horses that are running loose. Even if you have a lasso and you're really good at lassoing things, you lasso the horse, well, then it's just going to drag your butt all over the place, and that's not going to do any good. You don't want to be holding on to a rope connected to a wild horse, at least I don't. Maybe if you had like a four-wheeler, you could tie the horse to the four-wheeler if it's at least 2 horsepower, I guess. And then you could, like, drag it, but we didn't have a four-wheeler. If you shoot it with a tranquilizer gun, well, now you have this big, you know, lump of flesh. What do? You can't drag this thing around. We didn't have a tranquilizer gun. What are your options? You really just have to get the horse to cooperate. That's the best thing to do, to somehow corral it, to make it go back through the gate. So we've got these buckets of food. And here is how this whole thing began. The horse would be on the opposite side of the property. Big piece of property. So Angela would walk to the other side of the property with the bucket of food. And when she got over there, the horse would just run to the other side of the property. So then it would take, you know, 5-10 minutes for her to walk all the way back to the other side. And when she got there, it'd run to the opposite side. Now, this just went on and on. Where's this going? And it seemed almost, once I realized there was not a protocol for exactly how this was to be handled, I began to think, this is impossible. We're never going to be able to get these horses to go back through that gate. The horses knew that they had the upper hand here. And these ungelded males were getting very excited. And that's a little spooky also. Because if you've ever seen a documentary called Zoo, you know what can happen if a horse is very excited and it takes control of the situation. And so these horses, they're running over to where the females are. And, I mean, they're going buck wild. And I my impression was maybe we should just leave.
Run.
And come back later when they're all out of energy and maybe they'll be easier to deal with. But, no, she said this needed to be handled right now. So one of the strategies was, she says, we need to just, like, run up and scare these horses. I wasn't going to, like, hit the horses with a bullwhip, but I figured if I'm popping the bullwhip, it wasn't a bullwhip, by the way, it was a horse whip. If I'm popping the horse whip, maybe I can at least, like, scare them in the right direction. So anyway, she said, I tell you what, if we can get just a horse in the barn area where the stalls are, I might be able to get a rope around its neck and put it in one of the stalls and, you know, deal with it that way. So I go out there and my Indiana Jones get up and I'm screaming and I'm using my physical weight and I'm popping the whip and I'm trying. And finally, one of these horses goes running off toward the barn area. Now, the barn is open on both ends. And so Angela says, go around to one end and just basically act as a human gate. She said, just open your arms up and stand there, and he won't run past you. I said, are you sure?
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. So the horse runs into the barn. She goes on to one end. I go on to the other end. And I'm just standing there like this. Now, my understanding is if a man puts his arms
out... For those of you listening at home, standing there with his arms out.
My arms are outstretched completely. Thank you, yeah. And it's my understanding that if a man stretches his arms out, I believe that the height of his body is supposed to be the length from fingertip to fingertip of his middle fingers, which would be very appropriately displayed at this time. So we're talking about like a 6'2" gait, human gait here. So I'm standing there thinking, I trust Angela. She's the horse expert. And the horse is now cornered inside the barn. She's on one end. I'm on the other. The horse looks at me and just starts galloping right toward me. And I'm standing there thinking, who's going to play chicken here first in this situation? This horse doesn't give a crap that I'm standing there with my hands out. This thing just barrels right at me, and now I feel like I'm in a bull ring or something, and the horse just blew right through me. I mean, I jumped out of the way, and this strategy didn't work at all. The horse did not care that I was there. But again, a close call. Now, that's why I say, I don't know, maybe, Forrest, if you'd been there, two big guys, maybe that would have made the difference. I kind of doubt it. But you, Shelley, may have been better because the horses were so excited that they seemed to be attracted to the ladies a little bit more. And ultimately, this is what worked. The horses being attracted to the ladies was used against the horses because the ladies were finally, after hours of this going back and forth, miraculously, in my opinion, able to get the horses to follow them until one by one we were amazingly enough able to finally get them to follow the ladies into the pens and close the doors again. And so it was testosterone that won out in the end, and a little bit of feed. And so you, Shelley, may have been a contributor to helping guide these horses around, more so than Forrest and myself. Well, all we have is our sheer, incredible, muscular physiques.
Ungilded muscular physique.
Yeah. It was ungilded versus ungilded.
You remember this in Romania.
Mm-hmm. Now, that, I think that can work against you a little bit, though, in Romania, because they're going to pounce on you and sink their teeth into you. Horses are not going to do that. They want to do something else. So, anyhow, after hours of this, long story short, we finally were able to get the horses put up. Angela's very apologetic, and she's like, man, I've just wasted all this time today, and I'm very sorry. But we did end up finally being able to get on the horses and ride for a while, and that's why I say, and in fact,
I got on s'mores, did fine when I was riding it around the practice pen. But once we got out of the practice pen, s'mores started going nuts, and I wasn't able to control s'mores well. So it, none of it really worked out smoothly that day. It all kind of came to a fizzle instead of a nice romantic adventure ride around the island. But what's funny is that, you know, there are pictures. If you go to my Twitter page, you'll see, and of course, that, I think that's linked up through speakingofstrange.com, and definitely joshuapwarren.com. There's this picture I put out of me on top of s'mores, and I sent this picture to my sister with a subject line, stud. And my sister replies, and she says, you know what? When I got this, I showed it to Dad. And I just said, Dad, who do you think this is? And she said, my dad looked at it and literally said, is that John Wayne? My own father confused me for John Wayne. So I guess I looked fitting atop the steed. But fortunately, I was not damaged in any way, but it just shows I cannot be associated with horses in any kind of smooth manner. There's always some kind of problem. There's just always some kind of situation that arises. And Angela, as a person who deals with these horses on a daily basis, had never been in this situation before. Very strange, but it was quite an adventure. And just one of the little, you know, things that I experienced there in Charleston, celebrating the debut of my program. Could have ended much more differently. I could have come in here at Forest torn to pieces. I could have looked like Christopher Reeve. That's the scariest part. If this can happen to Superman, how am I going to stand a chance? All right, so maybe horses just aren't meant for me. I would be willing to go out and ride a horse again, but I just don't think I'm a horseman of that caliber. There's too much unpredictable there. Okay, we're going to take a break. When we come back, I've got this list here of 12 reasons the world may end this year. And we're going to go down these reasons and share our opinions for you, because you're going to be hearing more and more about this as 2012 proceeds, this fabled year that has been talked about so much lately. And the UFOs continue to be seen. Crazy stuff is picking up all around the world. I'm Joshua P. Warren. We'll dig into that when we come back here on Speaking of Strange.
Think of Larry T. Nobody knows what went on then T. For 10 million trillion trillion trillions of a second, the state of the universe cannot be reckoned. The fundamental forces were unified. We've no theory to describe that, though I've tried. Then the forces split, and the universe was more. It was hotter than a priest watching pity porn. Protons, neutrons, and electrons came to pass. As photons collided, changing energy to mass. 3 minutes go by, hence the cool 1 billion. Down from 100 million trillion trillion. This reduced heat allowed a new event. The formation of heavier elements. Still, it was millions of years before the first star glowed. If you're done with the bang, sing along, here we go. It was a big pow, fizz out, bang, a dang, baby, baby, boom, baby, boom, pop, boom, the big, big bang. A big pow, fizz out, bang, a dang, baby, baby, boom, baby, boom, pop, boom, the big, big bang. Now, what about inflation? That's a little tricky and could use some explanation. Inflation, one could barely state, was the time when the universe expanded at a rate that was faster than the speed of light, but that oversimplifies and it ain't quite right. Still, the purpose is here, it will have to do, cause I ain't got the time to explain it to you. Rock. Damn. It was a big pow, fizz out, bang, a dang, baby, baby, boom, baby, boom, pop, boom, the big.
big billang, a big pow pins out bang, a bang, biggie, biggie, boom, biggie, boom, pop, boom, a big billang.
Yeah, speaking of strange, the show that explores the summit of man's enlightenment, the pit of his depravity. Thanks for spending your evening with us. Place to relax, hang out. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren. And we're going to get into some of these ideas about why the world might end in 2012, according to some. Actually, it turns out many. And, you know, the UFO stuff, it just continues to pick up. Let me just throw this in here. We are not too far from the town of Hickory, North Carolina. Hickory, what is that, maybe like an hour or two down the road for us, something like
about
that?
About an hour, hour and a half.
Yeah. So, according to the newspaper there, the Hickory Record, there was a UFO spotted there just the other day. It was submitted to theexaminer.com. Report said witnesses driving along I-40 about 5 miles east of Statesville when they saw two jets flying in a clear blue sky, leaving condensation trails behind. Report goes on to say a large condensation trail came down between the other two trails and then a large shaped disc, quote, very bright, glowing, and reflective, end quote, showed up. The disc, which was described as a color of white to metal, stuck around for 6 to 8 seconds and then retracted back up into the sky and took the condensation trail with it. They also said, witnesses said, approximately 30 minutes prior, we witnessed two small objects in front of our vehicle flying on both sides in approximately the same level of skyline, same description as the larger disc object, but they were much smaller. This was driving along U.S. 70 to go to lunch at Amos Howard's restaurant just after 11 a.m. Apparently, you know, this has also been reported to authorities. They say the object, again, a white metal color, but had a black featureless circle in the rear. Quote, the craft began traveling along above the road slowly at first, then all of a sudden it shrank to a black dot and then disappeared as if it shot forward at an impossible speed, end quote. Then we have this report from CNN. Right now some researchers say they think they found a UFO in the Baltic Sea. On the floor of the sea. This is between Sweden and Finland. Team of shipwreck hunters found a strange circular object on the floor of the Baltic Sea. They say they have discovered visual evidence of a second disc-like shape some 200 meters from the original find. The object has a diameter of 195 feet, and people believe this was a wrecked UFO left behind a path of destruction measuring 900 feet. And then we have, just from Atlanta, Georgia, which is 4 hours down the road here, an ancient walled city older than Egypt's pyramids has been unearthed off the coast of Georgia. This is from the Examiner. 6 hours southeast of Atlanta, off the coast of Georgia on Sapelo Island, archaeologists have unearthed the remains of an ancient walled city that predates the construction of many of Egypt's pyramids. Known as the Sapelo Shell Ring Complex, ancient city was constructed around 2300 BC and featured three neighborhoods, each surrounded by circular walls 20 feet in height, constructed from tons of seashells. They say it's a really an enigma because at the time of its construction, the Native Americans living in the area were hunters and gatherers who had yet to invent agriculture, and they're trying to figure out who made these. And we've talked before about, you know, the idea that maybe some of the Maya or other cultures had been functioning in this area. Nobody knows. But, you know, these discoveries are coming out that are connecting ancient sites with some of the new UFO sightings. Who knows where all this is leading? But let's take a look at this list of 12 reasons some think the world may end this year. And this comes to us from TrueTV.com. We'll just discuss this, what our feelings are on this. In the studio with producer Forrest Connor, we have investigator Shelley Wright from Wright's Coin Shop. Number one, they say, and these are not necessarily in any particular order, the plague. Bird flu and swine flu gave us a fright in the years past, but the real plague could be released upon the world any minute. Scientists have reconstructed the DNA microbe of the bubonic plague, also known as the Black Death, in the hope of figuring out what made it so powerful. The New York Times reports that a lab recently grew an H5N1 flu virus, one of the most dangerous flu viruses ever known, and made it even more dangerous by tweaking it genetically to make it more contagious. Man, that's a bad idea. You know, I was talking about, like, in Puerto Rico, how they took the monkeys down there in the 50s to do experiments, and, duh, inevitably, they escaped. Things always escape, just like a sci-fi movie.
Always.
So they're creating these incredible strands, and those who are not familiar with history don't know just how powerful the 1918 Spanish influenza was. I mean, it wiped out millions and millions of people all over the world, and they keep saying we're overdue for one of these. So, you know, that's kind of realistic. I'm gonna put a check on that one. Like, okay, this might actually be something to be concerned about. Do you agree, Shelley?
Yes, but if you dwell on it, you will never get out of your house.
Right. You know, you can't. You know, you don't have a good option there.
No.
I'm sure, Forrest, you think that's, I mean, that's a good, solid possibility.
That's very solid.
Yeah. Especially the way we travel nowadays, spreading germs back and forth.
Right. Have you seen the movie Contagion?
I haven't, but it's funny that you bring that up, because I have this story saying a mystery outbreak could bring on the zombie invasion. It says here, as many as 16 students in Leroy, New York, have been stricken with a mysterious illness characterized by facial tics and Tourette's-like outbursts, similar to how most moviegoers felt after sitting through Contagion. I'm sure that's a joke. Doctors say the students are experiencing a psychological condition called conversion disorder or mass psychogenic illness. Basically, it's what happens when a bunch of people get together and start freaking out. Famous instances of conversion disorder are the Salem witch trial. And recently, parents who are unsatisfied with just calling their kids crazy are demanding new answers. They really don't know what's wrong, but it honestly is being said that this could turn into some type of a zombie-like symptom. I never dream about zombies, and two nights ago, I dreamed I was being chased by zombies, and it was scary as hell. You ever had a dream like that, Forrest?
Occasionally, yeah, I have.
Have you?
I have.
You ever had a zombie dream, Shelley?
Never.
I was really surprised at how creepy it was to actually be in that situation.
Actually, I was telling my girlfriend Kelly and I our zombie contingency plan a couple nights ago.
Okay, what is that?
If I'm not home, go to the mall, get the guns, meet me at the mall.
Uh-huh. Okay.
That or the Warren compound.
The Warren compound is pretty well secured. You might be safer there, but I don't know.
But still, I'll bring the ammo and the guns.
Bring everything you got. Yeah. Next we have on the list the Mayan calendar. Ancient Mayan calendar predicted December 12th. They say they're already wrong. It's December 21st, 2012. The world will end. Even John Cusack won't be able to stop it. The occasion will be marked by the return of Quetzalcoatl or Kukulcan. Actually, I'm just going to put an X on that. That's not true. The Maya They did actually say that the world would end, but they didn't mean it literally, because they talked about it being more of a transition.
A new beginning.
Yes, so don't even worry about that one. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll move on to the rest of the list for reasons the world might end, some say, in 2012. I'm Joshua P. Warren. It's the program where the unusual becomes usual. We call it Speaking of Strange. Becomes usual. I'm Joshua P. Warren, discussing 12 reasons they say the world might end this year, and we are evaluating each one in the studio with producer Forrest Connor, Shelley Wright from Wright's Coin Shop. In fact, I think we should probably, we're going to talk a little bit about Wright's Coin Shop in a minute on the list of reasons the world may end. Wright's Coin Shop pops up here. Interesting. Let's see here. What's next? Solar flares. Okay, now this is a good one. We've talked about this one for a long time. In fact, you know, our friend Dr. Bill Forstian was on Coast to Coast AM the other night talking about this very thing, because when the solar flares pick up, it can knock out delicate technology. And I want to actually thank Bill here for the kind words that he said about me on Coast to Coast AM when my name came up there. He wrote the book One Second After. Bill and I have been friends for a long time, and Forrest, you've known him for a long time.
I have.
And, you know, it's true. We go through these solar cycles, and sometimes the amount of power that's bombarding Earth is incredible. This says, while NASA says that there is no real danger from this year's solar flare-ups, others believe the solar storm could completely disable the world's satellites and electronics. As astrophysics or astrophysicist Alexei Dmitriev, whoever that is, succinctly explained, it could be, quote, global catastrophe, end quote. There is some credence to that. And, you know, we just had a very large flare, I guess, a week or so ago. And that was a flare that caused problems for some people on their cell phones. and it did knock out some satellites. It did reroute some airplanes, and that wasn't even in the X class. That was like an M9. And it has been predicted that more and more of these are going to hit the Earth this year. I think that is something to be very concerned about. So I'm going to put a check mark on that one. Next, we have Harold Camping's Rapture. I'm not even going to spend time on that. X. I was at the airport last time he said the world was going to end.
Yeah, weren't you in mid-flight? Or?
Yeah, I was, let's see, where was I? I don't know. I did a lot of flying last year, and I was somewhere up north, and everybody at the airport was buzzing about it.
Weren't you going to Minnesota or Chicago? Or?
Yeah, it was something like that. I think I was in, like, I was in maybe en route to Minnesota or Michigan. I think I was en route to Michigan, yeah. And or maybe I was coming back from Michigan. Either way, everybody at the airport was buzzing about it. There was more security, though, because it was perceived that maybe some wacko would go out and fulfill this prophecy. But Harold Camping, as far as I'm concerned, is an idiot and a fearmonger, and I just have no respect for people like that. Let's see here. Next, we have worldwide market collapse. This is where Wright's Coin Shop comes in. It says here, we've recovered to some extent from the crash of 07, but there's nothing stopping us from having another, even bigger crash. A market analyst named Clem Chambers recently predicted that both the U.S. and U.K. markets will completely crash in 2012. And this might take us closer to the dark ages. You know, it's definitely possible. I mean, I'm going to put, like, a question mark on that one because I think that's possible. And that's why we tell folks that you may as well go ahead and get some gold and silver stocked up. And that's why people call you, Shelley.
They do.
Do you think there's going to be a market collapse this year?
I don't know. I just you don't know what's going on. Just as soon as you think you've got it figured out, things change. But just kind of be ready. Put some stuff back, you know. You want to have some gold and silver, but put some food back, you know. Just be prepared.
I know one thing. If I'd bought a bunch of gold and silver 10 years ago, I'd be a happy camper right now, wouldn't
Heck
I?
Heck yeah, you would.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, it's gone up like nothing else you could have bought and stored away.
Mm-hmm.
What's your phone number there if people want to call you at Wright's and talk to you about trying to turn their useless notes into something solid like gold and silver? Because you don't have to be rich to do this.
No, not at all.
I mean, if you got $20, you can get started.
Exactly.
Okay, what's the number there?
828-298-5402.
Mm-hmm. That's 828-298-5402. And you can just call Shelley and, you know, get the scoop.
Chat a bit.
Breathe heavy.
I already have heavy breathers.
She'll stick on the phone. She won't hang up on you. Next on the list, nuclear war. They say, let's face it, America has a lot of enemies. Many have nuclear warheads. The most likely man to set off some bombs is Kim Jong's offspring there. Maybe
Kim Jong-un.
The Iranian government. You know, That's another one of those that it's possible, but I doubt it. You'd have to be really suicidal to do it, because you know if you start shooting nukes at us, it's the mutual assured destruction.
And where Americans, ours are faster; they'll get there quicker.
Yeah, we for all of our problems in this country, we still have the best military. The reason that we are so deeply in debt is because we blew it all on the military. So that's a pretty good thing to blow your money on just to secure yourself in this wild world. And I have problems believing that the U.S. is going to allow another country to become advanced enough to actually attack us that way.
Yeah, I mean, we'll intercept any. We'll know the second something's launched from another country, and we'll intercept it with those.
You know what? I'm just going to exit. I don't believe it's going to be a nuclear issue.
No.
Any disagreements here?
No disagreements.
Okay. Next on the list, super volcanoes. Now, this is interesting. Yellowstone National Park, beautiful place to explore, full of all kinds of fantastic flora and fauna. Also perched on top of one of the world's largest super volcanoes. We've actually had Marie D. Jones on this show talking about this. She wrote a book about it with her father, who is an expert on this. Over the past few years, the volcano has gradually shown more activity, as the Yellowstone Volcano Observatory notes. Currently, it's classified as within the historical norm, but it's well overdue for an eruption. And if that thing erupts, or really any supervolcano, it could very quickly create another ice age. So I'm just going to put a real possibility on that one.
I'll say, yeah, that's definitely a possibility. But that caldera that's under Yellowstone there also has a cycle where it expands. And it's currently in an expanding stage. I think, like, the north side of Yellowstone mm-hmm. has risen, like, I forget how many feet or how many inches over the past 10 years. Like, the lakes over there are drying up because, or appear to be drying up, but they're not really drying up. It's just the land is rising over there because, and just gravity takes effect and it's pushing the water to the other end of the lake. But then again, you know, that caldera, like I said, has this life cycle where it expands, and then we might see in a couple years, if nothing happens, it's going to go down, and then for a few years it's going to decrease, and it'll expand. It's like pulsating underneath Yellowstone there.
Well, you know, yeah, it's going to happen. The question is, you know, the rate of time for these geologic events. I mean, it's just like so big, we can't really figure it out.
I know, but we are so overdue for all kinds of geologic
events. We really are. You're right. And already we're seeing a pickup around the world. So, you know, we'll just put a question mark by that one because I think that's what you always have to do with geologic events. It might happen, it might not. You know, it's just, we really just don't know. Next year we have It Was All a Dream. Huh?
Huh?
Taking a hint from Waking Life or the end of many a cheesy TV episode, we entertain the possibility our world and everyone in it are simply part of another's dream, like a big being, and when that great alarm clock goes off and rings in the sky, it's all over for us. Well, you know, maybe so, but no. Just
X
come
it
on,
out.
Yeah. That's just stupid. It might be true, but we're not going to waste time trying to predict something like that. You know what? We're up on a break. When we come back, we have how many more left? 1, 2, 3, 4. 4 left on the list of things that might actually bring our world to an end in 2012. And we're going to tell you what we think of these, and then we're going to go over the final list and give you our ultimate opinions. That's what we're here for. I'm Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to Speaking of Strange. minutes of hour number two on tonight's Speaking of Strange. Coming up next, the Dark 30 Hour, when we dig into some of the more outrageous and controversial news. Not for the kiddies, not for the easily offended. Going down our list of reasons some say the world may end, next we have aliens attack. You know, I don't think aliens are going to attack, but personally, I think we may see some kind of significant alien contact here. I might disagree a little with you guys. Am I going a little too far out on a limb to say this might happen? Would you, do you think that's going too far, Shelley?
No, that's not going too far. No, I don't.
Forrest, you tend to, if aliens may...
No.
You're saying no.
No.
Okay, well, two out of three. We're just going to put a question mark there. I think something might happen with aliens this year. I know that's taking a big risk.
I don't know if they're going to really be the end of the world or whatever, per
well,
se. That, but,
well, you're right. That's but, on I mean, topic, yeah. Yeah, it's probably not. So, in that case, you're right. It's not going to contribute to, like, a huge collapse. So, let's just mark that one off, then. Next, the God particle that these scientists experimenting at the Large Hadron Collider are going to discover some particle that's going to ripple time and all that. Nah, I don't think so. They might discover a particle, but it's not going to be that devastating. Next on the list, it just says Sarah Palin. I'm just going to mark that one off. I doubt Sarah Palin's going to be a problem. Next, we have asteroid. Last time an asteroid hit the Earth, it destroyed the dinosaurs. Could we meet a similar fate this year? You know, it's possible. So I am going to put a question mark by that one. I doubt it, but it's possible.
You know, before I started listening to you, I was feeling really optimistic about 2012. I was having a good year so far.
See, I don't think the world's going to end this year, but this is just addressing the concerns that people have that feel that it might, you know. But having, and that's all on the list. So here is what we checked off. We went over all 12, and there were only two things that we checked off that we, I think, all agree on this entire list that could be a problem realistically this year if you want to look at odds and statistics and all. The two things that we checked might be a problem that could cause some serious issues leading to what you might think of as the end of the world. The plague and solar flares. The ones that we put a question mark by are worldwide market collapse, super volcanoes, and an asteroid. The ones we just marked off are the Mayan calendar predictions, Harold Camping's rapture, nuclear war, it was all a dream, aliens attack, the God particle, and Sarah Palin.
That, it was all a dream. Almost reminds me of like a Truman Show type feel to it. It's like, is there some kind of like intergalactic audience watching us, and we're all part of like Patrick Ewing's like crazy Dallas dream that?
That ticked everybody off.
Yeah.
Well, you know,
Patrick Duffy. I'm sorry,
Patrick Duffy. Okay. Well, it was Patrick Duffy playing Patrick Ewing, right?
Or it was J.R. Ewing?
Or was it?
The Ewings were the big oil family.
Yeah.
Why do we even own this topic?
My mom used to watch Dallas all the time when I was a kid. And
every Friday night.
Yes.
Right after Dukes of Hazzard.
And then Knott's Landing would come on later on. And then she watched Dynasty on ABC. Da da da. Da 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 da.
As this hour has digressed.
Yeah, we've really gone downhill. I'd say, okay, plague, solar flares. Plague could happen any time.
Right.
But I'm feeling the solar flare thing. I really am. I'm just thinking that we are underestimating what the solar flares might be doing this year.
I'm feeling more the plague than solar flares, personally. I am.
All right. Shelley, what are you feeling?
I'm thinking that anybody who is afraid of a worldwide market collapse should come and see me. I can help you with that. Don't worry. Don't panic. I'm here.
Well, honestly, you know, I've got a great deal of money in silver and gold. I know Forrest does. Wright's Coin Shop, 828-298-5402. Mm-hmm. 828-298-5402. We're going to take a break. When we come back, it's going to get real dark, my friends. The Dark 30 Hour. I'm Joshua P. Warren. This is Speaking of Strange.
Writings on the wall.